Dear brothers and sisters, the Bible records numerous blessings that God has promised to His children. To make these promises completely our own, we must diligently prepare our vessels. There is a condition in God giving us blessings. He says, if you do this, I will bless you. Like you don't have to be confused, and you just completely nourish yourself with the message of the Beatitudes. This is also a way to prepare vessels. You may say, as I listen to the messages on Beatitudes, isn't it only about spiritual blessings? No. If you receive spiritual blessings, your physical needs are also fulfilled. All the promises in the Bible, there are also messages about the spiritual love. And as you read the messages and cultivate your heart with it, this is a way to receiving answers. I pray in the name of the Lord that today's message will bring you great grace and power. Today is the third sermon on the Beatitudes, focusing on the blessings for the Gentile. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Explaining the first two blessings, I emphasize that the verses not be understood literally. The biblical definitions of being poor in spirit and mourning differs greatly from common understanding, so it requires us to grasp the spiritual significance. Likewise, the gentleness described in the third blessing is not the same as worldly gentleness. According to the dictionary, gentleness is defined as being meek and mild in character, soft and tender, or exuding a warm and gentle feeling. In general, a gentle person is often seen as someone with a meek nature, not easily angered or overly assertive, and someone who is passive, timid, soft-spoken, or quietly attentive is also called gentle. Someone might be called kind or gentle simply because they avoid conflicts even while harboring resentment or discomfort internally. There are many of such things because we don't know another person's inner heart. And when another person hides his heart feelings and pretends to be gentle, and other people might think that person is gentle. That's why people sometimes face troubles. They think, I thought that guy was gentle, but he's the opposite. Even while suppressing anger and the desire to argue on the outside, he appears to be gentle and yielding on the outside. And people see him as gentle. Sometimes people act or speak gently to gain favor or serve their own interests. And when you are looking for a boyfriend, looking for a girlfriend, you appear to be gentle, and because you want to have a good relationship with him, and you hide your character and you sugarcoat yourself and you act like you are a nice guy or a girl. And after people get married and they get disappointed, there are couples who say that. And people are some people are experts in disguising himself, and people are deceived and tempted. But you cannot deceive God. However, the gentleness God speaks of is different. It is a heart that can embrace others gently and warmly without discomfort or negative emotions. It is a heart that, from such a heart, if you do something, in your relationship with others, even physical relationships, if you appear to be gentle on the outside, but later on, people find out your irritation and annoyance, then they will realize that you are not gentle anymore. Moreover, God is looking at our heart. That's why, even when our heart is gentle, we are truly gentle. It is a heart that does not harbor ill feelings or cause harm to others, but rejoices with the happy, mourns with the sad, and offers comfort. When you being gentle is not just about being soft, being attentive, being a good hearer, but we are learning about the gentleness God approves. We have to achieve that. That's why we have to figure out what our shortcomings are through this message. We have to know whether we are rejoicing with the others, rejoice, mourners with the sad, whether we are heartless. The Bible tells us that people in the end time are heartless. They have no affection among people. With the spiritual love, you sympathize with others and rejoice with the other people's joyous occasion. This is rejoicing with the truth. This is love, spiritual love. When you rejoice with the truth, you are happy on other people's happy occasions and you sympathize with them. You have to know, let's say, someone who is not close to you and he has some happy occasion, but you don't feel anything and you, whether we have, and it can accept people who have a different character and tastes without conflict. People hang out to people of the same kind. If people and they don't hang out with the different kinds of people and say, we don't get along. But with the spiritual, people, each person may have different tastes and preferences. But if we have a heart that embraces people of different kinds, we have a big heart. This is one of the attributes of gentleness. Let's say you like bland taste, but other people may like salty flavor. But people with gentleness can embrace people of different tastes. And it's not even about the sin and evil. There are also people with a different character who are different character who, but people with gentleness can embrace even the person with a rough character. This is why they are gentle. But some people may think that person is very difficult to be with. That means he's not gentle. People talk about differences of character, personality, differences of preferences, differences of taste. Of course, you may have people whom you are more feel comfortable with, but if you keep away people of different kinds, that means you have a lot to fix in yourselves. You have to embrace and accept people of this kind or that kind. It is a heart that does not judge or condemn others, but seeks to understand them from their perspective and serves with the humility. This kind of heart is like cotton. Imagine throwing a stone both at cotton and at a hard object. You know, cotton. When we don't use cotton very, cotton is not usually used in our daily life, but in my childhood, we used cotton in the blanket. People put cotton in the blankets, and before winter came, my parents, and they got cotton from a shop and to put it in the blanket. And they were, when I was young, I really liked to lie down on the cotton. When my mother was working on the blanket, when there was cotton around, it was comfortable lying down on the cotton. I think adult generation have this memory. When you got injured and when you were bleeding, people used cotton. But nowadays, people use different materials rather than cotton. And that's why people of younger generation may not be familiar with cotton. Just think about fluffy blanket or something soft. If you throw a hard object into that cotton or that soft material, a stone thrown at metal makes a loud clanging sound and bounces off. When thrown at glass, it shatters with a loud noise. Don't think about a bulletproof glass, but just the regular grass. There are many kinds of grass, strong grass nowadays, but in the past, glass made a loud noise when they were shattered. Similarly, a person filled with pride and self-centeredness reacts harshly when things don't go their way. Namely, if you have a strong character or hard character, you cannot embrace others. But if you are gentle character, you can embrace whomever comes to you. Similarly, a person filled with pride and self-centeredness reacts harshly when things don't go their way. It's not just about person. When in our daily life, in our workplace, in your family, in your church, each person has different ways of handling things. And you may have a situation that doesn't agree with your thoughts. Some situations may be give you disadvantage, or you may feel frustrated about something. We have to check whether you are responding in gentle way or harsh way. However, no matter how many times you throw a stone at a cotton ball or poke it with a stick, it makes no sound and simply observes the impact. Since a gentle person has a heart like cotton, he can live in peace with everyone, no matter the circumstance. I explained about the gentleness, but you have to apply that in your life. A stone is thrown. Like when you get rebuked, when you get reproached, when you hear about a gossip. Some people may have rough way of speaking. You may think of, even so, if you are gentle, you just accept and embrace them. You, even those people who finds faults with you or gives a rebuke, and they are, when you have some shortcomings, they quickly come to you and point it out, and you may feel upset, and you feel the need to fill your heart with the Lord's love. You have to apply the message in you, and you remember those moments whom, when you wanted to avoid some person and you hated some person, and you give an excuse that that person has a different character from you, so you kept away from him. But this is because you are lacking gentleness. When such a gentle and mild heart is combined with virtue, it becomes the perfect gentleness that God desires. Well, so what is virtue? Virtue is described as fairness, broad understanding of others, actions that align with decency, and a character that influences others. The same applies spiritually. Even if a person has a heart that can warmly embrace others, if their actions are rough or they make frequent mistakes and fail to gain others' recognition, or if they are too passive, they are lacking virtue and cannot truly be called gentle. Some people, they are naive, they are very meek, and they don't really point out others' mistakes, and they appear to be gentle, but they are too passive, negative about God's work, and they don't want to do anything that may bother others. That they cannot be called gentle. There are also other people who are lacking virtues. Even though they have a gentle heart, they are on the... And the gentleness that God talks about is a gentle, a perfect gentleness. It's not just about being naive, being tender, being weak. This is not truly called gentle. You should also have virtues. So no matter where you go, you can be recognized. But if you are without virtue, you have... If a person, even if person has a gentle heart, even if a person has a gentle heart, he may he jokes a lot. That's why he cannot win trust of others. That's why he cannot be acknowledged as gentle by God. If a person is rough in words or frequently make jokes, they won't earn trust from others. Even when they give advice out of love, if they do in a commanding or assertive tone, they are lacking virtue and unable to bring about change in others. Church workers, you may think you have no evil, but the way you speak has a problem, but they don't realize that they have... Anyway, they have some shortcomings in how they speak and act. This is because they are lacking virtues, so they have to fix. They may say, I don't have ill feelings, but it's just my habit. It's just my way of things. But you have to fix even those habits, even those ways. They have to diligently fix them. You have to, the truth tells us to, For example, you may have deficiencies of the body. You are like a picky eater. You don't like this food and that food. And you may, but if you are a picky eater, you are not considerate of the person who are making meals. You have to fix yourself for others. You have to fill your shortcomings. And with such efforts, before God or even before worldly people, you will turn into a wonderful person, not just in church, but in other places like family, workplaces, and businesses. If you cultivate yourself with the word of truth, you don't, once you become perfect, you can become the head, even out in the world. You can win recognition, win compliments, and become successful, even out in the world. But if you, you may say, you have to understand what truly gentleness is. You have to, not only should you have gentleness of your heart, and but also have virtues. Even in uncomfortable situations or with difficult people, a gentle person does not think negatively, but try to understand them. He also does not act rudely. He patiently waits for others to change, even those with weak faith or evil tendencies. He finds ways for them to do. He finds ways for them to do better and guides them. With meekness combined with virtue, he can lead others to change. This is what God truly wants. Ability to change others. This comes from gentleness. This is one of the, because we are gentle, we are capable of changing others. But if you're not perfect, if but if you say something and other people cannot accept, even if you are naive, even if you are, because you are lacking gentleness, you cannot be used greatly in God's kingdom, and you are not perfectly bearing the fruits of Beatitudes. But if you're truly embracing others, you have to be able to change him. You don't ignore someone because he has a different character. If you don't look away because the kind of gentleness that God wants is not just embracing someone, but has the ability to change him. Rather than speaking roughly or talking too much, he says only what is necessary. As he treats others with warmth and kindness, he earns the love and respect of many. A gentle person can understand those who hate and criticize him without harboring negative emotions or feeling hurt. This is also important to think about. Let's say someone harasses you and you feel distressed and you feel agonized, you feel hurt. That also indicates that you have a small vessel. Even if you throw a stone at an ocean, nothing changes in the ocean. But if you throw a stone in a fish tank, water would splash and the fish tank would break. If you feel agonized and distressed, that means your heart vessel is very tiny and you are lacking gentleness. When receiving constructive feedback, they do not feel discomfort but accept it as it is. This is what a person with virtue and gentleness would be like. A person who has achieved such a perfect gentleness does not have clashes with others, but understands and embraces their shortcomings. In doing so, they can ultimately win the hearts of many and bring about change. What should we do to develop this kind of heart? We must diligently cultivate our heart fields. The Bible compares our heart to a field. Just as a farmer cultivates his field into a field of good soil by removing thorns and stones, we must weed our hearts of evil, such as hatred, envy, and judgment. By doing so, we can cultivate a gentle heart. In the Bible, God gave someone special credit for his gentleness. He was Moses. Numbers chapter 12 verse 3 tells us, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Moses led the Israelites through 40 years of hardship to the promised land of Canaan." If you are in charge of any mission or district in the church, you will encounter all kinds of people and situations. Like, if you are become a cell leader or just a small group leader, as you take care of them, each person has different ways of understanding and you may feel frustrated. I think you have this experience. There are complainers, critics, gossips, troublemakers, the disobedient, and those who spread false rumors. Many kinds of people. The Israelites who left Egypt numbered over 2 million, including women, children, and the elderly. While embracing all of them and leading them through the harsh wilderness, Moses must have faced many challenges. Despite witnessing numerous signs and wonders that God manifested while accompanying Moses, the evil people made all kinds of complaints whenever they found themselves in trouble. Blaming Moses for their hardships, they even attempted to stone him at times. The Israelites themselves asked God to deliver them out of Egypt, and God saved them and by sending Moses to them, and they safely went out of Egypt, and they were free, no longer a slave, but in the process to receive blessings, they definitely went through difficulties, but they claimed that they were happier as slaves. So they are very incoherent. Moses had to lead them continually. He had to give them advice. He spent 40 years like that. That means Moses was so spending 40 years with such a people, teaching and guiding them shows how gentle Moses truly was. It was because of his meekness that God dearly loved and guaranteed him. God accompanied him with amazing power, and when anyone opposed Moses, even his own family, God did not tolerate it. However, There's an interesting point. Moses was complimented, when Moses saw the people worshiping idols after receiving the Ten Commandments, he became angry and threw down the stone tablets. He threw down the stone tablets where God inscribed the Ten Commandments and shattered them. Other than this, there were times when he got enraged and rebuked the people. It's important to discern between worldly gentleness and spiritual gentleness. From these scenes, he is far from gentle. From a physical perspective, like he But Moses was obviously a meek person, but when he had to teach in the truth, he was strict. When the people severely sinned against God, he strongly rebuked them with rage. This reflects God-centered faith and gentleness with virtue. So that's why you need to have virtue. So when you have to be strict, you are strict. When you see people going to the way of death, you lead them. But if you are just have a gentle heart, you just say, oh, you shouldn't do that. And other people don't obey you, and they keep going the way of death, and they keep sinning. But if you just treat them with kindness alone, then they will keep going their way. That's why you have to be strict, and you have to guide them back to the way of life. This is true love. That's why gentleness should include virtue, and what Moses did was the example of his true gentleness. At times, even Jesus, who was extremely gentle, spoke harshly to the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, calling them brood of vipers. Seeing people who defiled the temple, Jesus overturned the tables and drove out the animals with a whip. While a truly gentle person embraces many with a tender and warm heart, he is stronger and more courageous than anyone when he has to be in the truth. Because of Moses' genuine gentleness, God said in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, "He is faithful in all my household," acknowledging his faithfulness and ardent passion for God's kingdom. However, in the church, some may appear gentle, but they are not recognized as gentle by God. These individuals do not bear spiritual fruit in the salvation of souls or their duties because their gentleness is not spiritual. As mentioned earlier, if someone is simply introverted or mild by nature, this is not the kind of gentleness that pleases God. Even while seeing untruth, if a person compromises to avoid conflict and lacks love or righteousness towards God and the church, he cannot be truly recognized as gentle. Some may be quiet and mild by nature, but lack passion for faithfulness. While people may consider them gentle, this is not spiritual gentleness. It's difficult for these individuals to receive answers and blessings. However, those with spiritual gentleness have a heart filled like a field of good soil. So, anything sown can quickly bear fruit. They can promptly achieve sanctification and are quick to bear the fruits of light, spiritual love, and the Holy Spirit like fertile soil, yielding abundant fruits. Their prayers and petitions to Father God are also swiftly answered. Brothers and sisters, above all, those who bear the fruit of gentleness receive God's true blessing, the inheritance of land. Inheritance refers to property or business passed down from ancestors. One's ownership of such inherited land is more firmly recognized than that of the land bought in his own generation. For example, in rural areas, those pieces of land allegedly passed down through generations would be recognized as family inheritances and rarely sold. All people in the neighborhood knew that that land belongs to a specific person and which has been passed down through generations. They know that the land had been passed down from ancestors. And the masters of such land rarely sold them. They would be preserved for future generations. Moreover, The law forbade the Israelites from selling the land inherited from their ancestors. Thus, inheriting the land means receiving something firmly and securely as one's own. So, what kind of land do the Gentile inherit? I just explained about the blessings of the I'm talking about the glory and the land in heaven, and people who are gentle, who are, does it mean that gentle would own a lot of land and become wealthy? No. No matter how much land a person obtains on earth, it cannot be taken to heaven. So it can be neither an eternal inheritance nor called a true blessing. Inheriting the land refers to receiving the land of heaven that doesn't perish or fade forever. Then, why did he say that the gentle will inherit the land in heaven? The reason is, they possess virtue and win many hearts. In the world, it looks like many people submit to those with wealth or power, but their submission is not from the heart. When they have power, as long as they have power, they want to rely on their power. But when they are without power, they all leave him. When someone seems beneficial, they cling to them. But when he is not, they all leave. In contrast, people with virtue inspire others to submit from the heart and seek rest in them. Their heart feels like vast land, and this becomes a source of authority spiritually. People who are gentle, it's not that they cause others to follow them through money, but because their hearts are filled with truth, people just gather around them. Because they have truth, whenever they teach something, they give grace to others. But that's why they cling to them and want to seek teachings from them. That's why people gather around the gentle. For example, if you have virtue as a cell leader or a pastor, other members naturally long to be with you. If church leaders have gentleness and virtue, the church flourishes as a result. Even in the face of disobedience or conflict, a gentle person does not isolate or ignore others. Rather, he loves, embraces, and prays for them, guiding them towards transformation and helping them become good grains anyhow. Words from a gentle and virtuous heart bring grace and strength to those who hear them. So, other people eagerly listen to his words, drawing strength to remain in the truth and grow in faith. Those who embrace many and lead them to heaven like this will receive great rewards in heaven. No wonder they will receive a bigger and grander dwelling place. To build a beautiful and vast house, a space on which to build a house is needed. A broader space is needed, which means the gentle will have a broader space. The more gentleness and virtue a person has, the greater land he will inherit. But the narrow-minded who lack gentleness, let's say you are gentle on this earth and led many people to salvation, and when you go to heaven, those people in heaven, they are very thankful towards you because you saved them, you shared the gospel with them, and you guided them to grow in faith. So they remain thankful forever. They consider you a lifesaver, and you want to, they want to visit you, they want to be close to you in heaven. Let's say you lead a lot of people to salvation and in the truth. Church workers, if you're gentle and lead many people in the truth, people would want to gather around you and flock to you. And that's why God has to give such gentle people a broader space and broader house. This is also, I mean, the reason for that. In contrast, the narrow-minded who lack gentleness and are unable to embrace others will now receive a vast piece of land in heaven. As for those residing in the lowest level of heaven, the paradise, since they remain at the beginner level of faith, being unable to embrace others, cast off sins, and attain gentleness, they cannot receive land as an inheritance. From the first kingdom of heaven and above, they have homes, and the space on which the house is built differs by the owner's gentleness and how many people he embraces. Especially, those entering New Jerusalem have fully attained spiritual gentleness, so they are given widespread land and large, beautiful homes. These homes will have gardens, lakes, swimming pools, valleys, sports fields, and other amenities for enjoyment. In these homes, people can invite those whom they have hovered, evangelized, and loved to celebrate together to their heart's content. This is the third blessing promised by the Lord. The blessing that the Gentile shall receive. Dear brothers and sisters, in this world, owning a home without inheritance is really challenging. While we generally live 70 to 80 years or 100 years, like owning an apartment, fancy apartment is like a dream. While we generally live 70 to 80 years or 100 years at best on earth, many dream of large, luxurious places. But how are you preparing for your eternal home in heaven? If you are content with just being saved and just attend church without striving for more, you might end up in the paradise where you live with no home of your own forever. Wouldn't you have regrets? Even though you don't like to yield, give up yourself, and find it burdensome to pray, if you at least make efforts knowing about heaven, you might end up in the first or second kingdom of heaven. But how will you, who know about New Jerusalem, feel when you see your own home? You find how small the land and the house are and regretfully think, I should have been gentler and embraced more souls and led them to heaven. But this regret will be too late. So, before the Lord returns, we must diligently achieve sanctification and cultivate gentleness to inherit widespread land. As we devote ourselves to evangelizing, praying, and saving many souls, we'll have a large, beautifully adorned homes. Enoch, Abraham, Mary Magdalene, and the Virgin Mary, as well as Moses, who was meeker than all men, and Elijah, whose heart resembled God's most, will receive a huge and beautiful dwelling, looking like a castle as an inheritance. Their homes are like literally a castle. Our forefathers of faith are like that. Why only these individuals? Even today, God is earnestly seeking those who possess a general heart like them. God gives them duties so they can embrace many souls with His heart, save them, and lead them in the truth. And He grants vast land to them in heaven. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will cultivate such a gentle heart and receive great land as your eternal inheritance in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.